desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word. Written on the board, the full plan of salvation. And this is we have had a Bible study, I don't know if it was a year or two ago, on this subject, and you may hear more from me on this subject through the summer. But it's a burden, it's been a burden on my heart for the last few years. I believe that it's one of the greatest needs among God's people. And it has to do with the subject of the Holy Spirit. The full plan of salvation, because Jesus came to do a complete work in our hearts. A complete work. He did not come to do something halfway. And I'm not going to focus as much this morning on the first part of the plan. The first part of the work of Jesus Christ was, as we know, He died on the cross, and through His blood that was shed, we have been forgiven of our sins. And that invitation was and is still is given to everyone that will come to Christ and repent and turn away from their sin, that through the power of the blood, that they have been forgiven of their committed sins. But Jesus, and understand, and I'm emphasizing it because there has been a lot of teaching and illustrations that might indicate differently, but I want us to get hold of this morning that the full plan of salvation came by way of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that brought salvation to earth. And without what Christ did, none of us could have access to living freedom. We would never have been reconciled to God, and we would not be able to live a consistent, holy life. But Jesus came, and He made the way through His death on the cross that we could all be reconciled to God and have a place of victory, of consistently in our life. Well, I'd like us to turn over, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew in the third chapter. And we're going to run a marathon this morning now. I don't know if any of us here are able to do that physically. I don't know. Maybe you are. How many miles is a marathon? Is it that many miles or kilometers? Okay, miles. 26.4 miles. I'm not able to do that. I will freely acknowledge that. But by the help of the Lord this morning, we want to run a marathon through some Scripture. Very quickly, but let the Word of God be our guide. And I want to emphasize again this morning, it is not fanciful ideas of man or illustrations that people have concocted to help us understand the power of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does or what He does not do. We will find the simplicity of the teaching of Jesus Christ and the disciples will start to clear away a lot of the confusion that there's been on this subject. In the third chapter of Matthew, in the 11th verse, John the Baptist was speaking here. And he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." What is the first work of grace? Justification? It's when we come, we repent of our sins. That was the message of John the Baptist. He was baptizing the people unto repentance. He was a forerunner of Jesus Christ, telling them that the Messiah, the Son of God, would come and die on the cross, that through belief in Him, we could be forgiven of our sins. And even before Jesus died, there were people that had a baptism unto repentance. They were being baptized. All right, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but He that cometh after Me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear." Speaking about Jesus. "He shall baptize you with" what? "With the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now understand, who is it that baptizes us with the Holy Ghost? It's Jesus. The full plan of salvation. Yes, it's a twofold plan. But Jesus came to do a complete work. It came by way of Jesus Christ. And I will say there is a danger this morning in trying to put it all together in one work of grace, as some would term it. Yes, the Lord will forgive you and you receive of His Spirit at the same time. That is not what the Scripture teaches us. And the Word of God will teach us that here in a little bit. But there is also a great danger in separating the work that Jesus came to do. Jesus came to forgive you of your sins, and somewhere down the road, maybe when you get around it or years later, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a danger in that because many times people fall away and they lose their justification unless they get the full plan. Jesus came to do a complete plan of salvation, and the Scripture very clearly teaches us that it was Jesus that would baptize us with the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus is the one that made the provision for us to receive the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Now these are the words of Christ. "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." I'm going to send him. But the Holy Spirit could not come and dwell in our hearts in its fullness until Christ's work was accomplished. You see, it was a sacrifice of Christ that enabled us to be a clean vessel fit for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not come into an unclean vessel. And we are made clean through the blood of Jesus Christ, are we not? It is the blood of Jesus that cleanseth us from what? Okay, now, I didn't come up with these ideas this morning now. This is Scripture. He said the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. That's the blood of Jesus that did that. And as we are cleansed from all sin, now then we are a tabernacle fit for the presence of the Holy Spirit to come down into our life and dwell. The work of Christ, the full plan of salvation, it was through His sacrifice and through His atonement. Over in John in the 7th chapter, let's read a little more. John the 7th chapter and the 37th verse. Jesus was speaking and He said, "In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Doesn't that sound good? That message of out of your belly or out of your heart would be living water. In other words, water that is not stagnant. Water that is not standing still, but water that is moving and flowing and refreshing and nutritious and invigorating. It's life-giving water. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. He was the focus. He said, come to me. But many times we don't go on and read the next verse. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe of him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." When we look at what Jesus taught, He came to baptize us with the Holy Ghost. He came to give us a full plan of salvation to enable us to live what the Bible teaches us. But just if you were to get a plan to build a house, and this is an illustration lacking, but just if you take the point I'm trying to make, and you do one part of the plan. There's multiple pages sometimes in a plan for a house. You've got the foundation plan, then you have the plan for the structure, and if we were to come and just say, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sin, and I repent, and the Lord forgives me," but that was all. We need to go to the next page of the plan. Jesus came to give us a full plan of salvation. And Jesus Himself, and again, you may sit there wondering, why do you keep focusing on Jesus? It's because through time, and I trust maybe you're not in that place, but through time, the work of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit has been separated in people's minds so much from the work of Christ that it has done an injustice to what real salvation is all about. We need the full package, folks. If we want to live victorious, we need to ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins and then ask Him to fill us with His Spirit. That's what Jesus came to do. The full plan. You want living water? You want that refreshing, invigorating, moving, stirring presence of God in your life? Jesus said, He was speaking of the Spirit, that had not yet come because Jesus had not yet been glorified. But this is why Jesus came. John the Baptist preached a message of repentance. But the perfect atonement only came through the blood of Jesus because the blood of bulls and of goats was not perfect to make a change in people's lives. But Jesus came to provide the sacrifice to enable us to go to the brazen altar, forgiveness of sins, and go on to that golden altar. Well, the same blood was applied of Jesus Christ that will enable us access to that holiest place. You young people, remember your lesson in Sunday school from a couple years ago? That most holy place where the very presence of God was. That's where Jesus came to get us into that place. He came to open up the way that the Holy Spirit would come. We won't take the time to read all the scriptures that prove that. But we find in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit dwelt in the tabernacle. And then He dwelt in the temple. But where does He dwell now? Where is the place of my rest? God asked. Know ye not, 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You are the temple, I am the temple. And the Lord wants to send His Spirit. God, Jesus wanted to baptize us with the presence of the Holy Spirit that we would experience the full plan of salvation. I may conclude here, but I want to make reference to the passage of Scripture in Romans 14, for the kingdom of God is what? It's not meat and drink. It's not physical. It's not something you see. It's not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in what? In the Holy Ghost. He's referring to the full plan of salvation. You've been forgiven of your sins. He does a definite work. He forgives us of our sins. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. I've been washed in the blood. But now I'm an empty vessel. I've been poured out of all the sin and all the bad stuff. And the Lord's cleaned me out inside. But now I'm still empty. And Jesus came to fill me up, or for the Spirit of the Lord of Jesus be poured into our life. What happens if we're not baptized with the Holy Spirit? You know the word baptized means to be immersed. The Greek, it means immerse. It's not just a little, I'll sprinkle my Spirit on you. Throw a little sprinkling of the Spirit. No, He said, I'm going to immerse you, fully cover you and fill you with the Holy Spirit. That was what Jesus came to do. That's why He came, to sacrifice, yes, to give of Himself as a perfect offering. For what purpose? That we would be a clean vessel, that the Holy Spirit could just be poured in. After I come and I ask the Lord to forgive me my sins and He cleans me up, I'm a clean vessel. Do you know what's going to happen if I don't get filled up with the Spirit? Devil's going to come right back along and try to start filling me back up and leading me back to the very sin that Jesus just cleansed me from. You know, this morning I believe this the infilling of the Holy Spirit, this full plan of salvation, would take care of a lot of the personal problems that people have. It will heal your backsliding. It will take care of every year I get saved and I want Him to keep coming, getting saved. But I want Him to know there's a complete plan this morning. This is the healing of backsliding this morning. This is the answer to the weaknesses that people have in life, that I just can't overcome that sin or that addiction. Get cleaned up and then get the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it'll enable you to live life free from sin. Enabling power comes from the Holy Spirit. I believe it's the answer to a lot of marriage problems. You know what? There's marriage counseling and there's marriage seminars. But folks, I'll tell you what homes need more than anything is they need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because it's what empowers, it's what enables us to humble our heart. It's what enables us to love. It's what enables us to be long-suffering. That's what marriage needs, isn't it? Just with people in general, love and long-suffering and forgiveness and that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. I believe this would take care of a lot of the needs that people have in their lives. The Lord wants us to be a fit temple. Over in Acts in the second chapter, on the day of Pentecost, God fulfilled His promise and He gave His Holy Spirit. But who did He give His Holy Spirit to? He gave His Holy Spirit to the 120 that believed in Him. They were together praying in unity as one, seeking God for the fulfillment of the promise of the Father. And in Acts, in the second chapter, I want to read in the verse 16, this is after the Holy Spirit came. In verse 2, let's just read, "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, the plan was now complete. Jesus' mission was accomplished because He made the way clear through the sacrifice of His body, through the shedding of His blood, that we could be cleansed, and now we would be a fit temple for the presence of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will not dwell in an unclean vessel. The Holy Spirit will not come. Sometimes people come and they want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and what they need to be done, they need a cleansing in the blood first. They need to be washed. They need to be forgiven of their sin. They need to forsake their sin and a clean vessel then present yourself to the Lord. And it's a gift that God wants to give. The Holy Spirit is a gift. We don't have to fight for it. The full plan of salvation is about us first being justified, forgiven of our sin, and then presenting ourselves to God saying, "Lord, I need Your Spirit now." And then He comes in and He just baptizes us and fills us with His Spirit. In verse 16 of this same chapter, it said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out My Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on My servants and on My handmaidens I will pour out in those days My Spirit." Poured out. That's why Jesus came. That's what John the Baptist was talking about. "I am baptizing you under repentance, but the one that comes after Me is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the believers. And I want to say this morning that the Holy Spirit is still being poured out on those that are providing a vessel fit for the indwelling Holy Spirit, those that have been washed in the blood. But without the Spirit, folks, I'm going to say we can't make it very far. We won't make it very far. We can go for a while, because just like before the Holy Spirit was poured out, Jesus told His disciples about the Holy Spirit. He said, "He is with you, but He shall be in you." That's the condition of people that are in a state of repentance, of justification. They've been forgiven of their sin, and the Holy Spirit's there working with them and still trying to guide and direct and helping them out. But there comes a place in life that I don't have the power, and I'm not growing anymore. I've gone about as far as I can, and you just find that you get in a rut, and you're not growing spiritually anymore, and you're not having the power. It's a dangerous place to be. And the Lord's saying, "I want the Spirit of God to be in you now. I want to possess your vessel." An illustration, and again, I think we have to be careful about illustrations. But just because someone is a sinner, do you say they're devil-possessed? I don't know what you say. But, you know, normally we don't say that. We say, okay, they're a sinner. But when we say someone is devil-possessed, we're talking about the devil is in them and possesses, there's a great stronghold. It's the same way with the good, with God. We can be forgiven of our sins and living right, but I want to be possessed with the Holy Spirit. I want Him to have right of way and control to lead and guide and comfort and empower. Not just a few days of the week or when things are going good, but consistently in my life, I am desperate for the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to be possessed this morning. I want to be baptized and filled with. And I want to thank God this morning I am. It's a wonderful experience. It's a gift of God. A gift of God. The Spirit of the Lord poured out. So what do we do to provide ourselves, to present ourselves to the Lord as a vessel, to be filled up and baptized? It's not complicated. Peter told them here in Acts in the 38th verse, The second chapter, verse 38, he said, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and what? And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children. Isn't that, do your heart good this morning? It's to all people, it's to our children. When they come to the Lord and they're struggling and they don't have power, repent and be baptized, get cleaned up, and then put out your vessel and say, Lord, I need you to fill me with your Spirit, and He'll give it to you. It's more about what comes in than what goes out, folks. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, it said. That's the work, and then the work, the full plan of salvation is, I've cleaned you, now let me fill you. Let me give you a gift. What would you think if I came to you and, well, I won't ask anybody to give a gift, but I said, would you give me a gift? And then I have to start doing things myself and start, well, I'll give you this and this and this and this. No. A gift is something you give of your heart, isn't it? I want to give you this. And so when we come with our vessel clean by the blood, this is the full plan of salvation. Jesus will pour out His Spirit and fill our heart. Is that complicated? Is that difficult? Too many times, and I say this with respect, but people have preached an illustration rather than simplicity of the word. I want to say this is not, this subject has caused divisions amongst Church of God people. I'm talking about Church of God different groups. This has caused rifts down through the years. Folks, that's the devil doing that because he doesn't want us to understand the simplicity of it. He doesn't want us to get hold of it. He wants to try to make it complicated. And what Jesus came to do was to forgive us of our sin and say, now I want to give you my Spirit. I want to fill you up to enable you to live a holy life. It was given to all people. So the answer then, what do we do? What are the conditions? Repent. Yes. In other words, turn away from your sin, be washed in the blood of Jesus for the sake of time. Acts 19:2, it was the Holy Spirit is given to them that believe. In Acts 5:32, the Holy Spirit is given to them that obey. So if we are living in disobedience, there's one lady that came to the altar one time, and I remember a minister sharing this, they said, I get so angry and upset and I just lose control and I just do this and that. She said, I need to be sanctified or I need to be filled with the Spirit. And he said, sister, you don't need the Spirit. You need to be saved. So that's the first place. Get cleansed of that. Allow the Lord to forgive you of the wrong that you committed, and now come and seek the Lord to fill you up, to empower you and enable you to say no to yourself when you're upset. That stuck with me. I heard that when I was a young boy, but I still remember because there's cleansing, folks, in the blood of Jesus. There's cleansing in the blood of Jesus. And don't misunderstand me. You will make mistakes and there will be times that you're going to have some failures along the way. There's going to be some times that you're going to wish, oh, if I would have known, or I wish I would have handled that differently, or I fell short. But you know, when you're not going to go back to moral transgression. Sin, moral transgression that separate us from God. Okay? That's what sin is. Sin is what separates. But there is still going to be a place of growth. But let's move on here for a moment. In the Word of God, the sacrifice of Christ enabled us full access to the most holy place. Well, the disciples were believers. And that's who the Holy Spirit came to. The people of Samaria, and I believe it is a wonderful illustrative example of what the Lord, of what the Holy Spirit, of when the Holy Spirit comes. But in the 8th chapter of Acts, in the 5th verse, Philip went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. These were sinners. These were people that did not know the Lord. And Philip preached Christ to them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. And then down in verse 12 it said, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. You understand? These were people that were sinners. They heard the gospel message and they believed and they were baptized. Well, go to verse 14 then. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. In other words, they received Christ. They turned away from their sin. They sent unto them Peter and John, and Peter and John went with a purpose, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And they laid hands on them and prayed, and the people that had repented received the Holy Spirit. It was very definitely two works that had taken place. Is that not clear in the Scripture this morning? They received Christ, and they were baptized in obedience. And the very first thing when the disciples heard about it, they said, take the message of the Holy Spirit to them. In other words, they need the full plan. But too many times, in an attempt, I don't believe in just one work, folks. I believe in the full plan. But it all came by way of Jesus Christ. But yet there were two works in that. But sometimes I believe historically, and please understand my burden if my words come out wrong this morning. But okay, will you do that? In an attempt to maintain a separation of the two works, which is very clear in the Scripture, there has been a little disservice done because it's a month, it's a year, it's 3 years, it's 5 years, and in between there's a lot of stuff going on that the Spirit of God could have taken care of. As soon as someone gets justified and cleansed, they need the Holy Spirit. Give them the message of the Holy Spirit. I don't want them to go too long without the Holy Spirit because I'm seeing the results of that in our time and age. People get saved and they go back with a desire to do what's right and they want to leave all their sin behind, but through time they start falling back. There's an answer to backsliding this morning. It's a full plan of salvation. You receive Christ in your heart, then come back and say, Lord, now that you've forgiven me, fill me up with your Spirit. Baptize me. Oh, it's the answer, folks. It's the answer to a lot of things that the Lord would like to do in our life. The Apostle Paul. Remember, Saul was on the road to Damascus and the Lord appeared to him? He had a conversion experience, didn't he? Conversion experience, and it's illustrated in the ninth chapter of Acts when he went to Ananias and Ananias laid his hands on him. Do you remember what came out of Ananias' mouth? Brother. How many times do you find the apostles calling each other brother in the Bible? That's a little side note. You don't. I think it's there about three times. But what he was doing was, and nothing's wrong with calling each other brother and sister. That's fellowship in the Lord. That's all right. But Ananias said that to Saul because he was acknowledging you've been converted. You were out killing people and imprisoning Christians, but I acknowledge that you are now my brother in the Lord. And he said, brother Saul. And he laid hands on him and prayed and he received the Holy Spirit. How long was that after conversion? I think it was about 3 days, wasn't it? It wasn't months. It wasn't weeks. It was a matter of days. He believed. He repented of his sin and then he went. And in that case, he received the Holy Spirit and then he went and got baptized. He didn't even have time to get baptized, but he wanted the full plan. I know I'm desperate for it. Folks, there have been people who have come to the altar. And we say, okay, pray to be forgiven of your sins. Now you have the Holy Spirit. No. Two very distinct, separate works that God does. But I've had people come that have knowledge of it and they know they need it. And they have prayed to be forgiven of their sins and repented and their vessel was clean. That was the one work. And they got up and they said, I know I need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Can I pray now and get it? Yes, you can. Don't put it off if you know your need. Pray and ask the Lord now to fill up that clean vessel that you could go and live in consistent victory and have the power and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the Holy Spirit this morning. Acts 1. I told you we were on a marathon. Acts 1, chapter 8, but ye shall receive power. We say, what does the Holy Spirit do? And many times when people talk about this second work of grace, they start, well, it does this and that. And I say, Lord, open up the Scripture to blinded minds and eyes. What does Jesus say that the Holy Spirit does? Jesus said, you shall receive what? Power. It'll put gas in your car. You know you have a vehicle out there. You can't go very far without fuel, can you? You've got the vehicle, but you've got to have something to give you power. It's what the Holy Spirit does. He gets that fuel in our life to empower us. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria. You remember Jesus told his disciples, he said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. In other words, you believe in me, but don't do anything yet. You need the Holy Spirit first. How often do we hear that? We get fired up, I'm saved, and we're ready to go take on the world. My answer is no! Go back home and get the Holy Spirit. Don't go out and face the world in your own strength. Don't go out into the world and think, well, I'm going to go evangelize the world. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because that's what will keep you and enable you to be in the face of sin and the influences of the world. It is the Holy Spirit that will empower you to say no to the devil and yes to God. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable you to say no to your flesh in time of temptation. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable you consistently to say no to Michael. I'm talking about me now. No to me and yes to the Lord. I can't do that in my own ability because I'm still in the flesh. Some say, well, when you get the Holy Spirit, does it just take out all the personality and take away all the temptation? No, it doesn't. You better wait for heaven to get that. That's what heaven's about, folks. Free from temptation. But in this life, we still have our unique personalities. We still have temptations. We still have desires. We still have ourselves to contend with. But it is now we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. When it crosses, when the flesh crosses God's will, there is an imbibing of power because of God's presence that enables me to say no. So we still have to say no. There's still a process of yielding and submitting to the power that is within us. What else does the Holy Spirit do? This is homework if you want more of it. I'm just going to read through. I'll give you the scripture references and you can study it. He is a sanctifier. Romans 15, 16. Folks, want to say, some people refer to this second work as Holy Ghost baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, perfection, sanctification. The Holy Spirit is a sanctifier. He purifies. You know what it means to sanctify? It means to make holy. But you know we are not only sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I know, Brother Cook, I know you agree. I've heard you mention the Scriptures. We are sanctified. I'm quoting the Scripture now. We are sanctified by the Word. We are sanctified by the blood. And we are sanctified by the Spirit. So for us to just take this as just the unique work of the Holy Spirit, no, we're sanctified by the blood. We're sanctified by the Word. Let me illustrate it this way. In our heart, in our perfection of our hearts to live for the Lord, when the Lord comes along and opens up a Scripture to you and you realize that, I haven't been doing that. I didn't know. I didn't understand. And the Lord reveals it to you. Does that mean that it was sin to you before? No, your heart was still perfect before God. Perfect in desire. Perfect in motivation, perfect in your desire and where your heart, your love for God. But when the Word of God is opened up to you and you say, yes, Lord, I'll do that. We were sanctified by the Word. We were made holy. We were set apart. The Word separates us. The blood of Jesus does that too. So does the Holy Spirit. It didn't just happen once, folks. That is the work of the Holy Spirit continually in our life, sanctifying and enabling us. He is a comforter. Chapters 14 and 16 of John, it says He's a comforter, He's a guide, He's a teacher. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The Spirit is what vitalizes our experience. You know, I know with this, some people have been accused. I had someone say one time, they said, well, that these people, these Christians are just, and I'm not being as specific as they were, it's like going in and seeing a wax museum. You know, a lot of has-beens and this wax museum. No, do you know the Holy Spirit will enliven you? It'll make you alive. This is where the praises of God in that daily living, the light that Brother Randy talked about in Sunday school, that we are enabled to be that light because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes alive. It is 1 Corinthians 14, it is the Holy Spirit that is the giver of spiritual gifts. It's not just waking up saying, think like choosing a job, should I be a plumber or an electrician? No. The Holy Spirit comes and divinely gives gifts in the body of Christ. But how can He work in my life if I'm not the temple that He's dwelling in? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? By the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5. What is the evidence of the Holy Spirit this morning? The evidence of the Holy Spirit is the ability to live a holy life. The evidence of the Holy Spirit, I will let the Scripture speak for itself. You children can do it for us this morning. But the fruit, isn't fruit evidence? The fruit of the Spirit is what? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, that's the evidence. Do we have the Spirit? And I know sometimes people struggle, do I have it? If you have not come with a clean vessel and asked the Lord to baptize you, it's time to open up our heart. Say, Lord, fill me. But what is the evidence? It does not always come with a lot of visible activity. It doesn't always come with a lot of emotion. It is a work of faith, just like when we believe in the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. So it is that, Lord, I know nothing that's hindering me. I don't know of any unrighteousness in my life because of Your blood. And so, Lord, I open my heart and I ask You to fill me. Give me the gift of Your Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus came for. That is the full plan of salvation. Well, I mentioned, I want to touch on it before as we conclude this morning. We are still human. We still have weaknesses. We still have feelings. We still make mistakes. So it is. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Why? Lest where I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. But we have been equipped now. We have the full plan. It's been accomplished. I've been made clean by the blood, and now I've been filled. The Spirit has been poured out in my life and is filling my temple. And now, there's still growth. To grow in grace, the Scripture says. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We are in a dangerous place to say, well, I am saved and full of the Holy Spirit, and I'm just waiting for the Lord to come now. No, the Lord still wants to work on me. But now He's given me the tools to work. And as He works, I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to look in the mirror of the Word and the Spirit and say, Lord, I see that now. Would You give me grace in that area of my life? Maybe I didn't have the fullness of love, or maybe I'm struggling with my patience here. That's more than one trip to the altar, isn't it? Is this truth now? It's more than one trip to the altar. It's a place now that I'm saying yes to the Lord. This is still my personality or my humanity, but my heart is perfect before God, and now I have the power to say no. And when we make a mistake, we won't cover it up and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Lord, help me. And we can start growing. It's a blessing to look back. Can you look back over your life a few years ago and see areas that you've grown? That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. I'm not talking about growing out of sin. You understand the difference. But I'm talking about our human makeup, personality, weaknesses. We are equipped for growth with the Holy Spirit. So when should we ask for the Holy Spirit? When should we ask? As soon. As soon as we are forgiven of our sins and we recognize the need of it and we understand that it was a gift that God gave to me and it was a full plan that the Lord gave, there is danger and delay. But I say again, as Jesus told His disciples, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Folks, the world is getting so bad. And I think we're seeing it happen more now even than we did 20 years ago. When the influences weren't as strong, people could kind of hold on to their justification a little longer. But the influences of the world are so strong today, we need a power within us that will resist that influence and enable us to go out in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation and shine as lights in this world. We can do that with the full plan of salvation. You want to enjoy, and I hope all of you are, I trust all of you are this morning. Finish line's in sight. Romans 14, again, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the fullness. That's where the Lord wants us to be living this morning. It's what He wants us to be enjoying. He wants to put, I believe it's the Holy Spirit that puts a spring in your step, folks. And if you get knocked down, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables you to get right back up and keep going. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit does. He's enabling. Oh, let's live in the kingdom this morning. John the Baptist baptized unto repentance, but the one that cometh after, he said, shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I am so thankful for the experience. Maybe there's things in the theology that people don't understand, but what's more important is that we have the experience. Two definite works, but folks, it's one plan, and that's why Jesus came. Amen.